If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for all our spiritual blessings that you gave us in Christ, that they are a free gift from you. We didn't deserve them. We didn't earn them. You gave them as a free gift, and we accept this truth that you've shown to us. And Father, we pray for Ted and his family today, that you be with them at the loss of this wife, this loved one, the mother, the sister, whoever they are, her friends and all that will be involved in this situation. And Father, we ask you this morning especially to be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, give us the faith to accept the things that we can't do anything about and just put our faith and trust in you. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I know we've gone over some of these things before. Wait till these people get in. Good morning. Do we have anybody here for the first time? Okay, I appreciate all y'all being here this morning. It's good to see you. Y'all remember, without y'all, we don't have a class. We got a place to meet in, and so far we've been meeting here about 20 years, I think, somewhere around that time. Since about 1992, we've been meeting in this building, and y'all think about the business that operates here. Pray for them, that God will keep them busy so they don't shut these doors down here around us. Keep this place open for us to meet in. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Did I do something wrong? Hey, buddy. What, did I do something wrong? Let's do that again. Verse 4. God our Savior, verse 3. Who? Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, do you have to know anything about a one body to be saved?
No.
Do you have to know your position in Christ to be saved? What do you need to know to be saved?
Christ,
so, I'll tell you what, dude. Hold 1 Timothy here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's start in verse 14. You see, I believe, personally, I believe there are people sitting in assemblies that are saved that are never going to come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe they're saved, but they're not going to come unto the knowledge of the truth unless they get out of there and go somewhere where the truth is being preached rightly divided. Now listen, you can't be saved by the doctrine and the gospel that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is impossible for you to get saved by the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And I know that hits a nerve with people today. People say, well, we believe in following Jesus. You do? Well, you check out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just see if you can follow Jesus. Any of y'all work? Any of y'all work for a living?
Yeah.
Well, I ain't never, but I used to get paid for going to work, whether I worked or not. But most of y'all had to work sometime or another in your life to make a living, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ told these apostles that he trained back here, quit your job, don't work. Be like the birds. Yeah. Do the birds work?
No.
You know, I got different birds in different times of, especially in the summer, we put out, my wife puts out bird feed. And we got different birds out there. And you can watch one of them, he'll get down there and scratch. The other, there'll be some birds up here, and he'll sit down here and wait for them to knock some seeds out, and then he'll pick it up. He ain't going to go up there and help himself. He just sits down here to wait for somebody feeds him, you know. God Almighty told these people here, be like the birds.
Yep.
They don't work, and God takes care of them. Be like the lilies. They don't do nothing. They just grow up out of the ground. There they are. Y'all know what a fly trap is?
Mm-hmm.
Grows in wetlands. What did God feed them? Insects. Flies. Fly jumping in there, he shut his mouth, and that fly was gone. Did he work for it? But these people were told to work, so you can't follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And don't tell me John 3:16. Don't tell me John 3:16. Let me ask you a question. Can you be saved by John 3:16?
No.
And that alone?
No.
You do, y'all know what John 3:16 says? Turn there. Hold Timothy. Turn to John 3:16. You see, that brings negative thoughts from people. Why? Because they're sitting in churches believing, if they believe John 3:16, they're saved. The only way you can be saved is by the gospel that Peter preached. Is that right? In Acts 2?
No.
You can't? You mean to tell me I can't follow the apostle Peter? The man of God? That Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter's name means pebble, don't it? You mean I can't trust Peter? No, you better not. The Lord appeared to the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and told him when he died at Calvary, he died for men's sins, and nobody knew that until Paul preached it, and he started preaching that in Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 13, he's still preaching that. And in Acts 28, he's still preaching that Jesus Christ died for some people's sins according to the scriptures. But after Acts 28, he started preaching or writing letters, I'll put it that way, to people such as us that are not in the covenants of promise. And when Paul said he was going to go to Gentiles such as us, he became a prisoner for me and you. Why? Because he's preaching the mystery of the gospel. That when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us. Now, you can't be saved by this gospel back here. Now, me and a gentleman was talking before class about a so-called grace preacher that's on TV the other day. I ain't gonna call his name. I don't want to turn you from him because he has some good points. But he said that you can be saved by the gospel that Paul got saved by the gospel that was preached back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel of the kingdom.
No.
Now we're going to look at these two things here. Now I got a problem. Now in John 3:16, look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did they believe on the Lord for their salvation? What did they believe? They believed in him, in his name. Hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is about Philip and the eunuch. Acts chapter 8. The eunuch is reading out of the book of Isaiah. And Philip has been told by the Holy Spirit to go over there and join himself to this eunuch. The eunuch is searching for truth. You understand? Psalms 145, verse 18, if you're taking notes, God said he's nigh unto all them that call upon him. All that call upon him in truth. Well, how can you call on the Lord today in truth? It has to be through the gospel of the Apostle Paul, rightly divided.
Amen.
Now, in Acts chapter 8, so Philip has gone over there and joined himself to the eunuch. Now, verse 32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He, and he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip saith, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ died for all my sins.
No.
He didn't say that, did he?
No.
What did he say he believed? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, John 3:16, go back there. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what did they believe? They believed that he was the Son of God.
Amen.
They believed the Old Testament scriptures back here from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew how he come in according to Zechariah 9. They knew that he'd be born in Judea according to Malachi. They knew according to Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 and 16, there's a seed coming of this woman Eve back here, and he will be their king. You understand? So he came to his own. Now, let's see if we can figure out what John 3:16 is about here. Now, go to chapter 3, verse 16 again. Let's discover this verse according to what God says about it. For God so loved the world. Does God love the world?
Yes.
Why did he love the world? In the context that we're reading. Not what you know out of Romans Philemon. Let's forget Romans Philemon right now. Do you know why God loved the world? Let me show you. Hold your place in. Go to Matthew chapter 13. There'll be the parables. Matthew chapter 13. He's preached some parables to these people about a sower sowing some seed, and how that some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, and some brought forth and some didn't. Now, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Is he going to talk to them about the field? God so loved the world. Okay. Watch what he says. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed, the Son of Man. Well, what is the seed?
The Word of God.
What is Jesus Christ sowing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
The Word
of God. You understand? In Psalms 138, verse 2, God put his word above his name. Remember that. Now, verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed, the Son of Man. The field is the world. God so loved what?
The world.
The world is referenced as a field. God's sowing some words in the field, in the world. Now, verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked woman. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. In other words, the rapture of the church has taken place. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be fulfilled over here, and the Hebrew epistles over here. At the second coming, he'll send down, Jesus Christ will come down. He'll send his angels from that point. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. He will bind them and throw them in the furnace of fire, as he said so in Matthew chapter 13 here. And the reapers are the angels. There ain't no angels in Romans to Philemon.
Amen.
Don't let somebody pull your leg. Now, why did Jesus Christ love the world? His children are in the world. Look at verse 42. And shall cast them, these ones that offend, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, go to Matthew 24, which is tribulation passage. Matthew 24. This is tribulation passage. And he's talking to them in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came in privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered, said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. You shall be killed and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom. What gospel are they preaching? Gospel of the kingdom. That's here and over here. The gospel of the kingdom is not being preached. Well, it shouldn't be preached today in Romans to Philemon. There's some trying to preach it. This is the gospel of Christ. You understand Romans to Philemon? The gospel of Christ. And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that you're holding in just a minute. Now watch what he says here. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end. End of what?
Tribulation.
End of the tribulation. The passage is tribulation people. Ain't got nothing to do with the church, the body of Christ. It's written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are tribulation saints. They are going to go into the 7-year tribulation over here. And according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the Antichrist has 1 week over here. Week is seven. It's 7 years over here. Now, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. End of what? End of the tribulation. Then the kingdom will be set up. 1,000-year millennial reign. Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. He won't go out and deceive nobody no more for 1,000 years. He's got a seal on him and he can't get out of there. Beloved, I got a seal on me. And if you're saved, you got a seal on you. And when the Holy Spirit baptized me into Jesus Christ's body, I can't get out of it. I'm there. Will I want to or not? I'm in it. Amen. Why? Because I deserved it.
No.
Thank you. I still deserve damnation. But Jesus Christ took that from me. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can drop whatever else you got there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we get on to Paul in just a minute. Now, there ain't no booging way that anybody that believes the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John can be saved today. You understand? So John 3:16 will not save you today. The only way you can use John 3:16 is by the knowledge of the Apostle Paul's gospel. And it ain't written in the book of John. Do y'all know how many times y'all better? I might go around here and say, now I want you to tell me how many times. I won't do that. Do y'all know how many times the word Gentile is in the book of John?
Two.
Thank you. Do you know where it's at? Don't say it. Do you know? I'm not going to ask you, but do you know? You can lie to me. I don't care. Do y'all know where the only time the word Gentile is in the book of John is at? It's in one verse. It's in John chapter 7, verse 35. Look at it. Hold 2 Corinthians. We're going to get there in just a minute. Go to John chapter 7. Now the context, I'm going to have to read more than one verse, but it's in one verse. John chapter 7. Go to verse 32. The Pharisees. Now, you know what a Pharisee is, don't you? They are law-abiding. I mean, they are upstanding Christians, man. They know it. Y'all know Paul used to be a Pharisee?
Yeah.
A law-abiding Christian? Verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Well, y'all know who he was sent to?
His own.
You ought to have a verse in your mind. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, he told a Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In John chapter 1, he was sent to his own. His own is Israel. His Israel is scattered in the world, beloved. Matthew 26, he said, smite the shepherd, there's the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Israel scattered all over. They're not back in their homeland today. Do you know when Israel's back in their homeland over there in the thousand-year millennial reign, you can go back to Isaiah back there and find that the bear and the lion and the tigers all eat straw? Well, you better not put a bear and a tiger in the same cage today. You know what's going to happen? One of them's going to eat the other. They may eat each other. No, it's going to be like when Noah went in the ark. Y'all remember the years ago there used to be a program, the first nature program I used to ever watch? Frank Buck, Bring Them Back Alive. That was the name of the program. Frank Buck used to go to Africa and places and capture these animals and bring them back and sell them to these zoos and things in this country here. Well, I watched nature. And I was watching it yesterday, and I'm watching these cheetahs. They're about the fastest cat there is, the biggest cat. They're running down these elk and buffaloes. They'll catch anything that they can catch and kill it and eat it. Do y'all think we're in the kingdom today?
No.
Blow, that won't happen until over here when the Lord sets up his kingdom. Now, watch what he says here in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go to him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Now watch what he says real close here. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? That is the only time you see the word Gentile in the book of John. So John ain't written to Gentile. It's written to his people, Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you know why they said, is he going to go to the Gentiles? Y'all got any idea why they would even think such a question?
Go
to Matthew chapter 10.
Do that in the
go to Matthew chapter 10. You see, their ministry is not the same as ours. Theirs is the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12, and he names the 12 apostles here. And Paul ain't one of them. And he should, and he couldn't have been. Paul's a blasphemer. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. So when he says he's going to go away where they can't come, they think he's going to go to the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles. That's a good question. He said, you can't come where I'm going. Well, he's talking about going back to God the Father. He ain't talking about going to the Gentiles, but in their mind, they know that they ain't supposed to go to Gentiles. Any of the 12 apostles sent to us?
No,
they ain't. So the Lord saved the old rascal Saul of Tarsus, a blasphemer, and saved him. Take two passages. Take Matthew 12 while you're here, and go to Acts chapter 7 again. Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to start in Acts 6 to pick up the context. Acts chapter 6. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, we'll start in verse 31. If anybody tells you that Paul got saved under the gospel of the kingdom, just yawn real big and get away from him. Don't fool with him. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now he's going to explain what blasphemy is. Next verse. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, have y'all ever seen the Holy Ghost? I ain't never seen him.
They claim you can.
Ma'am?
They claim you can.
Yeah, a lot of people claim they have. Yeah. If they saw the Holy Spirit, they'd fall down flat on their face and they wouldn't even know whether they was alive or dead or not. Anybody that ever met God Almighty, met him, they was down flat on their face.
Amen.
I hear these knuckleheads like Richard Roberts and all that. Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. The Lord just told me somebody got a new heart. Somebody just got a new hip. I know somebody needs a new elbow. And I can't do nothing about it. You know? You need one too? Well, it looks like we're just going to have us a healing service around here. We'll have to call Benny Hinn and see if he'll come heal some of y'all. I don't have the power to do it. Now look what he says here. Verse 32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor this world to come. You understand? Can a blasphemer be saved?
No.
Gospel of the kingdom.
No.
You speak against the Son of Man, you know why? When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. But when they spoke against the Holy Spirit, it's Katie bar the door under the gospel of the kingdom. They can't be saved. It's like when Noah got in the ark, God shut the door, and that's it. And I suspect if you could find the ark, there'd be claw marks on that thing as the water got up here above your nose. You're going to be hunting dry ground, and then 15 cubits above the highest mountain Are you listening? Nobody else got in. Eight people saved by water. Peter said the like figure that even saves us. Not the baptism of, it can't put away their sins, but it was an answer of a good conscience to God. What did they do back here? They submitted in water baptism, believing that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King of Israel. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Paul said, I thank God I didn't baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Did Paul baptize some people?
Yeah.
What did he baptize them with?
Water.
Don't tell me there ain't no water. Water is water. What did the eunuch see? Did he see the Holy Spirit in Acts 8? He saw water. They went down in the water and Philip baptized him with the Spirit.
Amen.
What did Philip baptize him with? Water. Tell me the Spirit. Baptism. Spiritual baptism in here. Was Israel identified in the Red Sea with the Lord back here when they crossed the Red Sea?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, I got a bad problem. More than among other things. Some of them I can't talk about. But I got a bad problem believing this book. And I don't believe what man says about it unless he's telling me what the book says. Now, I don't understand all of it, but I believe every verse means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, and who it says it to.
Amen.
And I ain't got to twist it and wrestle with it. And like Peter said, Paul has some things that's hard to be understood. Mm-hmm. I expect they were for Peter. I suspect when Paul said he was going to go to people such as us, they said, no way, baby. You're going against contrary to the word back here. Now, can a blasphemer be saved under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's doctrine?
No.
Now, watch what happens here. Now, and before we leave Matthew 12, I want to read one verse to you, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak. Now, preacher, if you're listening, you better take heed to what you say God said. You need to study Jeremiah chapter 23. God said, I did not send them people to lie. And I'm paraphrasing. That's what they're doing. They're lying back here. And God said, I didn't send them to tell nobody that. Did God send people today to tell us that we need to follow the gospel of the kingdom? No, he did not. Are there people saying that we should? Yes, they are. You know who sent them? Satan. They're Satan's ministers according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
That's right.
Now, Matthew 12, verse 36 again. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, let's see if Paul condemned himself. Y'all know Paul called people to blaspheme when he was persecuting those Christians in the book of Acts. He called them to speak against the Holy Spirit in the hope for them after they did that under the gospel of the kingdom. But under Paul's gospel, there ain't no sin that you can commit that God ain't took care of. You know that?
That's right.
Now, in where are you holding? Acts chapter 7. Well, 6. I apologize. Let's go to Acts 6. Now, the context in Acts chapter 6 is they've chosen out 7 men here, verse 5. And the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and he names these 7 men. Are they filled with the Holy Spirit? Is Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit? He sure was. Now, and Philip goes to preaching in Acts chapter 7. Now, he tells them about their history. Now, go to verse 51, Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him, that's Stephen, with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. Is Stephen filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
You remember Matthew 12. Speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. Speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in this world to come. Now, in verse 55, he said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and a Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Did Saul speak against the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
He sure did. Go to Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start in verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, praise God for his glorious gospel.
Amen.
If it hadn't been for his glorious gospel, I'd have busted hell wide open. Lord wouldn't have let me linger this long. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Watch what Paul says here.
Yes, sir.
Who was before a what?
Blasphemer.
A blasphemer, and God put him into the ministry? Huh? Are you kidding me? Was Jesus Christ lying back here?
No.
No, he wasn't. Did Paul speak against the Holy Spirit in Stephen?
Yeah.
He sure did. Paul's a blasphemer. But did Paul get saved?
Yeah.
Look what he says here. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He just didn't know me. And some of you. Some of you. Y'all ain't know. The Bible's very clear. There's none good, no, not one. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Whether you're a blasphemer or not, God will save you. Don't make no difference. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. You have a question, anybody?
What was that?
Do what now? You know, I can't hear too good.
The one was the showing us about Stephen. That was in Acts.
Acts chapter 6, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching in Acts 7, and then Acts 8, Saul is consenting unto his death, so he spoke against the Holy Spirit being in Stephen there. So that's when Paul became a blasphemer. Now he's been persecuting, according to Acts 26, verse 13, 14, and 15, Jesus Christ said, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose. And what did he say? You have been persecuting me. Well, if Paul had just persecuted Jesus Christ, could he have got saved under the gospel of the kingdom?
Yes.
He sure could. But when he spoke against the Holy Spirit in Stephen, he's a blasphemer, and that's it. Katie barred the door, no more hope for him.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. You're in the same boat. You know why? Those who first trusted in Christ here, their salvation is according to the Old Testament Scriptures. It's hid in the Old Testament Scriptures. Well, when you get to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, the Bible says that Paul is going to people such as us that are not in the covenant of promise. We're not allied with Israel. And we're without God in the world.
Amen.
Y'all believe that's what Ephesians 2:12 says?
Yes, sir.
Y'all better look at your book. I just lied to you.
Yeah.
Y'all better look at the book. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I just lied to you and y'all just sat there. You see, if I went into a denominational church, I'd get thrown out before the preacher got started. Because if he started back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to try to give me some doctrine that I got to live by back here, like in the book of John when it says the truth shall make you free. Truth didn't make me free. Did the truth out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John make anybody in here free?
No.
What truth did it take to make you free? Give you liberty. That Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary and paid for all our sins. That's the only truth that'll make you free. He was preaching to his 12 apostles when he said that. He ain't preaching to the world. But the preacher don't know that. Why? Oh, he quotes it every Sunday in there about it. I even saw it in a movie last night that was made way back yonder. Number, when was that movie made? Do you remember? The one that Glenn Ford was in. 1945. They had a sign on the wagon that he was riding. The truth shall make you free. And quoted out of the book of John.
Was that name? Cimarron?
Cimarron, that's it.
In 1960.
Oh, yeah, that was that other one we was watching.
Okay, well, 60, huh? Did you watch it?
The truth made me free.
Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got one believer in it. Anybody else? Y'all come on down to the front. No, stay where you are. I want you down. There ain't no room. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, let's see what the verse does say. Because there's a key in the verse. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, what is that time? Is that before you got saved?
No.
That's what some people say. I know some grace preachers, that's what they believe. That they, after they got saved, then they had hope. No. That won't work, beloved.
It's impossible.
These Ephesians who first trusted in Christ, did they have a hope?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. As long as Israel's there, they got a hope.
Right.
But when Israel became Lo Amni after Acts 28, and I don't care what you'll nail me as, a 28er or what, I don't care. I'm just preaching what the book says. In Acts 28, Paul's still dealing with the Jews. He told them Jews there, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and they're going to believe this. Now, I know who these Gentiles are. Here they are. Wherefore you remember in time past. Now, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Beloved, the key is having no hope. Hope. These people in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 had no hope. Israel is gone. They are Lo Amni. You can't get to God through Israel today. And I don't give a... almost said it. I don't give a flip what Hagee says. Or what anybody says if they say Israel is back in their homeland right now today. Mm-hmm. They ain't back there.
Nope.
And God don't need your 230 or whatever he's asking for money to get them back there. Mm. How much money did Moses give to God back here to get Israel out of bondage in Egypt?
None.
You know what? It worked the other way around.
Right.
Egypt barred from the, Israel barred from the Egyptians. He told them, said, this night, the death angel's going to pass over. Be ready. You done got the blood on the doorpost and the side. That death angel will pass over you. I want you to borrow from your neighbor everything you can borrow. And they had favor with them people, and they lent them millions of stuff, gold and silver and precious stones, all kind of stuff. And they ain't never paid it back. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, we got a free gift. And there ain't no way you can ever pay it back in this flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, when the rapture takes place, my vile body is going to be changed. And that's what he called it. And don't pay no attention to these New King James and these new translations. They change the word from vile to lowly. Well, we're all lowly beings. The Bible is very clear. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God created us. Adam was created. He wasn't born. Adam ain't got no belly button. Made out of the dirt. That's why we're going back to dirt. This body's going to go back to dirt, beloved. Whether you love it or cherish it or what, it don't matter. You can't go in the presence of God in this body. It's got to take a change, and only God Almighty can change what you are. But I got good news for you. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Was Paul a blasphemer?
Yes.
Did he get saved?
Yes.
Sure did. But he didn't get saved under the gospel of the kingdom. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to get saved under the gospel of the kingdom. John 3:16, gospel of the kingdom. Now I can use John 3:16 along with Paul's gospel to show you that Jesus Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. You understand? Not after we repented of our sins, while we were yet in our sins. Is anybody in here that can live without sin? Put your hand up. I want to see you. I want to talk to you. I want you to teach me how you do it. Because I can't do it. I just jolly well can't do it. The thoughts in my mind. Do you know what God does? He tries the heart. The Lord knows what's in your heart. That's why Paul is so adamant in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that man, what do you believe? That a man, Jesus Christ, died for you. What do? You say the same thing that the Bible says. We fix to see what it says here right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then some were dead.
No.
How many were dead?
All
of them. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But wait a minute. Jesus Christ died for us, didn't he? If one died for all, there he is, Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though he have known Christ after the flesh, like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before he died. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. Why? He's been resurrected. He's a new creature. Listen, Jesus Christ was born. He wasn't created. The Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. They say Jesus Christ was a created angel. That's a lie. He was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ had a belly button. If you don't believe me, ask him if you get there. Like old Thomas and them said, well, if I don't see the scars in his hand and his feet and the hole in his side, I won't believe. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus Christ when you got there. Show me your belly button, please. He wasn't created. He was born again. A man. John 3, a man must be born again. Jesus Christ, a man, had to be born again to get back to where God the Father is. Why? Because God made him to be sin. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's his righteousness, not mine, and it jolly well ain't yours, it's his.
Amen.
And if you are righteous, it's because you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And if you ain't, you ain't righteous.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not righteous in the flesh. I'm sorry, dude. Come ride with me, see how sorry. No, you better not. You might go tell others how sorry I am. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are we born again?
No,
we're a new creature. Was Adam born? He was created. Jesus Christ created? No, he was born. Let me explain it to you like this. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me show you something. Oh man, good gracious. Rosa, you got that on 220? They're running too fast this morning. I know what it is. It's this time change. It's got everything out. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, go to verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam. By man, Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you have a promise that someday God's going to make you alive in a new body, a new creature in Christ? That's one of our spiritual blessings. In Christ. So God said he'd have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. You don't have to know anything about the body of Christ. You don't have to know anything about you being a member of his flesh and bone or anything such as that to be saved. You get saved, then you get in an assembly that teaches the truth of the God of, Word of God rightly divided, and then you get established and get built up in the faith. Why?
Yes,
so can't somebody carry you to and fro.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you being here this morning. My time's up. I appreciate your time. Good to see you.